Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that this is the living and active word of God, and that you have a desire and a purpose for your word to us tonight. And so please give us soft hearts, give us ears to hear, as Jesus said, that we might hear what you're saying to us. And more than just hearing it, we pray that you give us a will to desire to do something about it. And so please help us to respond to your word rightly too. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at the front of our house, in fact, it almost goes directly onto the high street of Loftus. So you couldn't really call it a garden. It's just like concrete. But at the back of our house, we have a small garden. Perhaps you have a bit of garden too. Some grass, a few borders, a few large shrubs. And right now, and you'll know this if you've got a garden, it's growing like crazy. Warm sunshine, plenty of rain, or has been, isn't there? And things grow like crazy. It seems out of control. And my wife Caroline, she loves to garden, and she's also got an allotment in Loftus, like a council allotment. And she loves to grow fruit and vegetables. And so there's potatoes that are really doing well at the moment. There's gooseberries and rhubarb that are on their way. There's courgettes looking healthy but quite young at the moment. There's runner beans that are just a few of them are going up the sticks, and a couple of them have sort of fallen over and got caught in the wind or something. There's some beetroot. One row of beetroot looks really good, and the other row of beetroot's got eaten by some rabbits or something that's like running around the allotments. Very mixed results. But of all the plants, there's one sort of plant that's growing the best. The weeds. Yeah, the weeds are growing like crazy. Now, I don't imagine that there's many of us here that are farmers. But we all understand something of the basic idea of growing plants. Let's think about a crop of wheat. The idea of seeds going in the ground and the hope for a good crop. And the parable of the sower is perhaps one of the best known parables. And it's a lovely parable for a preacher, because not only have you got the parable, but you've got Jesus explaining what it means. A sower goes out to sow some seed. And we're told, Jesus says, well, that's a picture of someone going out with the message of the gospel. Someone going out with a message of new life in Christ. Someone going out with a message that we're sinners and need to turn and put our faith and trust in Christ, and our sins will be forgiven. This is the picture of a sower, like a farmer, someone who's a messenger going out with the gospel, telling people about the good news and seeing different people respond in different ways. And we see, don't we, in this parable, the four different soils or grounds. You might recall at the beginning of Mark, in chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. There's the sort of like the gospel in just a, like a tiny little nugget. I'm sure there was much more said as well, but that there we are. There's the gospel in a nugget. He was telling them that the kingdom of God was near, that they needed to repent and to believe the good news. And so as the gospel goes out, we're told by Jesus that there's going to be these different responses to this message. We've got the image of some of the seed falling on a path. Like it's hard, and the seed just sits on top, and of course quickly birds would come and snatch it away. And the picture there, of course, is a hard heart receiving the gospel message, but actually just not penetrating the soil at all. Someone, you know when there was a thing a while ago, it was awful. Some of the kids used to say stuff like, talk to the hand, because the face don't want to know. Did you ever hear that? Oh, it's just, oh, what a horrible thing. It's like, it's just, I don't want to know. And so the gospel comes and people say, I don't want to know. And it's like the devil's just snatched it away. No impact at all. And then you've got the rocky ground where there's very little space for roots, very shallow soil. And of course the plant pings up, looks really good because it's nice and warm. But as soon as the sun starts bearing down on it for very long, it starts to wilt and disappears. And we're told, we see that. And you've probably seen it in people's lives. People that seemed as if they'd responded to the gospel. Everyone got excited. It seemed wonderful, but as soon as trouble came, a difficulty came, as soon as it was difficult to be a Christian, they disappeared, and we never saw them again. Or the weedy soil, the third one, and there's plenty of weedy soil in our allotment at the moment, and that's the picture of it being sort of crowded out, the seed and the plant being crowded out. The person again who seems to respond, but there's a deceitfulness of the world and the things that we desire that get in the way, and so that person seems to, it appears from the outside that they've responded to the message, but as soon as their fleshly appetites pull, as soon as some desire leads them in a different direction, they give up what they were doing, and they give up the faith, it seems, and they were never in it, and they've chosen their own path. They've been choked by the things of the world. And lastly, we read of this good soil that's fruitful. And of course, the picture of the 30 or 60 or 100-fold. You can imagine a stalk of wheat with all the head of corn on the top. Just the multiplication's amazing. That's what happens, isn't it, when things grow and it produces fruit as it should. And of course, the picture is there that there's been a heart, someone who's heard the message, someone that's been seeking God, someone that's accepted the message that they've heard, and they produce a crop. They grow in stature, they grow in their understanding of God, they grow and even multiply. Multiply in themselves as they grow, but perhaps multiply as they tell other people. And so you could say that the parable is primarily a call to listen to the message and to respond. Look at verse 3. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Jesus, first word he says, listen. Listen. And then he starts to tell the parable. And so there's primarily a call in the parable to listen, and there's a call to respond. Look down to verse 9. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so if you're not a Christian tonight, if you've just come this evening and you're thinking about spiritual things, or perhaps you just come with someone else, and you know at the moment that you're not a follower of Jesus, then I would urge you to think about this parable. Which type of soil are you? Will you receive the message of the gospel? Will you grow? Will you bear fruit? But to the Christians here, and I guess that's most of you, I want to use this passage to encourage you in your evangelism. Of course, evangelism just means the spreading of the good news about Jesus. Now, I'm aware, one of the things they teach you when you're thinking about learning to preach, parables particularly, you have to be very careful about not reading too much into the details of parables. They're a story that Jesus made up with a main meaning. But notwithstanding that, I think there's some things for us to learn in this passage about evangelism, and that's where I'd like to draw your attention this evening. Four things I want to say about evangelism from this passage. The first thing, in your evangelism, be liberal. Now, you could quote me on that and get me into all sorts of trouble. Robin said we've got to be liberal. Now, I'm not talking about theologically liberal. What I mean is be generous. Be generous with your seed sowing. Be generous with the gospel message. I wonder what's in your mind when you read this passage and think of this sower. Of course, it wasn't someone in a tractor putting seeds one by one into little holes. This would have been someone with a massive bag of seed, putting his hand in and throwing it across the land. And here's this faithful farmer putting his hand into the seed, taking a great big handful and scattering it across this land, every part of the land. You could read this parable, couldn't you, and say, what a waste of seed. Why on earth was the farmer sowing seed when it could land on the path, or throwing seed when it could land on rocky soil, or throwing seed in a place that was prone to grow weeds? Fancy the farmer doing that. But I think it's an example to us about how liberal we should be with the gospel message. And of course, Jesus was a sower, and I guess primarily we could read the parable and think of him bringing the gospel message, this message to turn and repent and trust in God. You could imagine him applying this message to himself. I'm sure it applies directly to the apostles, that they were going to be the sent ones with this seed, but so too are we. Don't just think, oh, well, Matt's the one round here who throws out the seed. This is a task for all of us. If you understand the gospel yourself, you've received it yourself, then you are a sower of the seed. And be liberal with the seed that you have, with the opportunities that you're given. Every single person that you meet who's not a believer needs to hear that message. Everybody. Look down with me. Verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word. They hear it. Verse 16. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. Verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. 36. Do you see? They're hearing the word. Wherever they were, whatever sort of people they were, whatever the sort of soil was in their hearts, they were hearing the word. And so we're not to be people that go around thinking, well, are they likely to become a Christian? Shall I? No, just share the word. Be liberal. Be generous. Be extravagant with the gospel message that you have. Take the message to everyone. They all need to hear this message. It might not look like the soil is very promising. You might be throwing a handful and thinking, that's just going on the road. That's just going on the path. The birds are going to eat that. But sow the seed nonetheless. So be liberal. Secondly, in your evangelism, be confident. Now, you don't need to me to tell you that the obstacles to evangelism are very big. Even if, before we start thinking about the obstacles in other people, what about yourself? We have our own fears. We have our own sin. We have our own weaknesses. But even once the seed is being sown, the obstacles are huge. We can infer some of these from the passage. Satan himself is an obstacle, snatching away the seed. There's disinterest in people that are hard-hearted. There's sufferings and persecutions to face for those who turn to Christ. There are the worries of life that get in the way of people receiving this message. There's the deceitfulness of wealth. This idea that if we get lots of stuff or we have a big bank balance, somehow all our life is going to make sense. What does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? Meaningless, meaningless. What about those desires of other things? What obstacles there are in the message being conveyed? But there's no need to lose heart, friends, because some of the seed will fall into good soil. He is able to soften someone's heart. He is able to save them. He is able to sanctify them. And lots of sermons on this parable would focus on the need to prepare our hearts. But in some ways that's missing the tricky part of the parable that's easy to miss out, isn't it, in verses 11 and 12. In a way, the very reason for Jesus talking in parables is that some would understand and some wouldn't. It reminds us that salvation is a work of God. Those who were already following Jesus had been given the secret of the kingdom of God, it says. They'd been given that. And so our confidence is not in some clever strategy that we've chosen or worked out. Our confidence is not in some special evangelistic technique, some way of describing the message. It's not in some clever marketing. Although some of those things and thinking about some of those things might be helpful, but that's not why our hope is in. Our confidence is in the fact that this message is the power of God to salvation for those who will believe. That's what it says, isn't it? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel itself is the power of God, and He is able to save His people as the gospel message is broadcast like seed. So friends, be liberal, spread the seed extravagantly, and be confident that some of that seed will save people. They will turn to Christ. He will bring His people to Himself. Thirdly, be realistic. realistic. Be realistic in your expectations. It's interesting, isn't it, that 25%, if you like your maths, 25% of the seed grew into plants that had lasting fruit. Just 25%. And I'm not saying that we should necessarily expect that exactly 3 out of every 4 people would reject the message and that 1 would receive it. In fact, I think it's going to be far worse than that. The point is that in this parable that Jesus told, the good soil was in the minority. And do you remember from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14? Do you remember these words? Jesus speaking, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and only few find it." Be realistic. We scatter the seed as much as we can, wherever we can. Whoever will listen, we'll just scatter the seed. We'll be confident that God will save his people, but we're being realistic. We're not going to get too disappointed when people reject the message. We're not going to feel that the message has failed. For part of the work of the message is that it will harden some hearts as well as it will soften others. Perhaps at the moment you're all excited by how many people are being saved, and praise the Lord for that, if that's your experience. But other times it feels, doesn't it, like we sow for weeks, we sow for months, we sow for years, and we see so little fruit. And it should burden us, it should concern us. We do want people to know Christ, but it shouldn't surprise us that there's so few people, it seems, respond to the message. Another aspect of this is that we shouldn't be surprised when it seems like people turn to Christ and then they disappear. It breaks our heart, doesn't it? Perhaps there's people that you've invested time and energy in. Perhaps these were people that you spoke to about the gospel. Or when they came in or started to come to church or started meeting with you somewhere, they seemed to be so encouraging and it seemed like God was doing a work. And then something happens. Trouble comes, like the sun and the shallow soil, or the weeds of the deceitfulness of wealth and wanting things draws them away. And it breaks our heart, but it shouldn't surprise us. This is what Jesus said would happen when the gospel is being sown in people's lives. So, Christian, don't get too cynical. Don't give up sowing. Don't feel, well, I got my hands burnt or fingers burnt once. Don't get despondent. In your personal evangelism, press on. Press on telling people the good news of Jesus. And church, as a whole, praise the Lord for the growth that you have seen. I hear bits of what's going on, and it's really encouraging to hear. But when there are lean times, or when lean times come, or when discouragements tempt us to focus on other things, keep sowing. Keep sowing. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So be liberal. Be extravagant with the gospel and your sharing in your evangelism. Be confident in your evangelism. God is at work. Be realistic. There will be lots of disappointments along the way. And lastly, be prayerful. in your evangelism, be prayerful. Friends, the task of producing a crop is too hard for us. You try it. You try and make a seed grow yourself. Put it in the ground and you try and make it grow. It's not just difficult, it's impossible. We don't have the power to do that. And as we plant things on our allotment, there are things that don't come up. You just have to accept it. You can't do anything about it. Think of the farmer. He buys the seed. He scatters the seed. He watches and waits. The plants grow and bear fruit. And he harvests the crop. Or think of the toddler. Have you had little toddlers that do this? They get some Crest seed and they get a bit of damp kitchen roll and they leave the seed on it, and then it's quite quickly it appears, doesn't it? You know, there's so much work that we can do, but there's absolutely crucial parts of this process that we can't do ourselves. And that's to bring growth from the seed to a plant. We can try and make the conditions right, but the growth comes from God. The life and the fruit that we're looking for have their origin in God Himself. And so it's to Him that we must look. We need to be faithful in prayer as we are sowing the seed, because we're looking to that one who is Lord of the harvest to produce the crop, not ourselves. Let's be people who pray faithfully, faithfully for those around us who aren't believers. Perhaps there's people in your family. Even right now as I'm talking, perhaps someone's coming into your mind that you know is not a Christian, someone that you're quite close to. Just pray for them right now. Make that a regular thing. I'm sure that you do it. I'm sure that's part of your church's life. I see the prayer requests coming into me, asking me for prayer requests. I saw the prayer requests on the board in the other room. I'm sure, I know it's part of your church life. But let's not ever take for granted the fact that this work of salvation, this plant that needs, it's like this receiving of the seed and seeing the seed grow into a plant. Let's not take for granted that that is a work of God, and only He can do it. So be liberal, be confident, be realistic, and be prayerful. I'm going to close with an illustration that I did steal from somebody else. He was telling us a story about himself. A pastor was telling us a story about himself. And it sounds like he had a family at home, a wife that went out to work, out of the house somewhere, but he was based at home. Had a study at home, and it was a base for his work, and obviously he was out and about as well, but he was based at home. And so one morning, as it is in many households, it was a bit a pandemonium as the kids are getting ready to go to school and mum's trying to get ready to go out to work. And eventually they managed to pull everything together, managed to stuff down some breakfast, and as they're leaving the door, she realizes she hasn't done something and turns to her husband, who's the pastor, and says, "Oh, please put the dishwasher on." They were her last words as she left. Please put the dishwasher on. As she jumped in the car and they shot off to school and to work. And on his way back into the house, as he said goodbye and kissed them goodbye, he got distracted with the phone ringing. And at various points through the day, he remembered those words that his wife had said, "Don't forget the dishwasher." And each time he remembered, does this happen to you? You remember something at the very moment when you can't do anything about it. I don't know, you're on a phone call or you're just on the car going somewhere, and you think, "Well, I can't do it right now, but I must remember when I get back, I must put the dishwasher on." And so the words of his wife were sort of ringing in his ear all day. And then it got to that moment, late in the afternoon, when he heard his wife's car driving onto the drive. And his heart sank because he realized it was too late and the dishwasher still hadn't been put on. You know, when Jesus left this earth, he gave us some parting words. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, in our evangelism, let's not let ourselves get distracted. Let's not find ourselves on that day when the Lord returns feeling like we didn't do what he asked us to do. Let's take every opportunity to be those sowing the seed, being liberal, being confident that the gospel has the power to save, being realistic that there's going to be disappointments along the way, and being prayerful, remembering that the result of the harvest is not in our hands, it's in the Lord's hands. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this just wonderful, just simple parable, but for the immense depth and richness of it. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be those that would sow seed by telling other people about Jesus. Might his work in our lives shine out to others. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be passionate about other people hearing this message. Give us a real deep confidence that it is not about us persuading people. It's not about some clever strategy, but the gospel itself, because it comes from you, it is the word of God, has power to save. We pray, Lord, about those disappointments that we've experienced. People that seem to be saved and then turned away. Or the many times where we've been encouraged by something and then look round and the person's gone. Help us in those times to trust you, to trust your wisdom, to trust your perfect sovereign power. And we pray too that we would be people who are on our knees praying as we look to see the harvest grow. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.